Our passage of Scripture this morning begins and ends with love. If you love me, you will keep my commandment, and I will ask God to give you an advocate to be with you forever. I will not leave you orphaned. But when faced with a loss, that's hard to believe, isn't it? You know, our homes have tokens from our families to remind us that we have not been abandoned. Most often a picture, perhaps a piece of furniture, a dish. I will not leave you. There was an article recently about people working with their phone company to preserve voicemails of deceased loved ones, and the anger when in some plans messages time out or upgrades no longer surface messages past a certain date, or sometimes data does not transfer from one operating system to another. You know, anger when you can no longer listen and pretend they're still here. Anger that you're orphaned. You know, you've known times when it is hard to believe that God is still with us, and you have felt orphaned. When the King James Version was translated, the word orphaned was rendered as comfortless, and thus the word that we currently translate as advocate was translated as comforter. So to this day, you can still hear the Holy Spirit referred to as the comforter. And thus, in this discourse from Jesus, he says over and over in his farewell, I will not leave you orphaned. I will send an advocate to you. I will not leave you alone. I will send a comforter to the comfortless. I will not leave you or forsake you. I'm sending you a counselor, a sweet spirit to be with you, to comfort and advocate for you. Several years ago, we had the good fortune to be present in a German church for a Sunday morning confirmation anniversary. There, the confirmation tradition is so strong that you not only have the confirmation service for yourself, but it's common to celebrate golden anniversaries of those confirmations and the like. And so we were there, and those who had been confirmed 25 years ago were asked to stand, and then those 40 years, then 50 years. Rather than stopping, the pastor continued asking those who had been confirmed 60 years, then 70 years, and there was one man present who had been confirmed somewhere between 75 and 80 years prior. Later in the sermon, the pastor preached on this morning's lesson from 1 Peter on being prepared to give an accounting for the hope that is within you. Who at 14 knows the circumstances for which they will need to steward hope? Singling out that oldest gentleman in the sanctuary, the pastor intoned, at 14, Heinrich could not have known that he would need to give an accounting for the hope that lived within him through the fall of the Weimar Republic, a worldwide depression, the rise of Nazi Germany, as a soldier in the war, a war-weary rebuilding, the Cold War, the division of Germany, and then fortunately, he brightens up, and the reunification. He did not even get into Heinrich's personal life, the joys and the sorrows that accompany any one of us, just the historical narrative through which he journeyed and which all of us journey. Can you give an accounting for the hope that is within you? Last year, The book, When Breath Becomes Air, became a bestseller as a physician, Paul Kananithi, wrote what was a farewell. He told the story of his life and of his dying in his late 30s. Dr. Kananithi used his own journey into suffering and death to explore what, given that all organisms die, makes a virtuous and meaningful life. He and his wife decided to marry and have a child, knowing that he had limited time. Fortunately, he did live long enough to greet his daughter, Kati. He closes with what you have come to realize is a long love letter with these words. I hope I'll live long enough that she has some memory of me. Words have a longevity. I do not. I had thought I could leave her a series of letters, but what would they say? I don't even know if she'll take to the nickname we've given her. There is perhaps only one thing to say to this infant, who is all future, overlapping briefly with me, whose life, barring the improbable, is all but past. That message is simple. When you come to one of the many moments in life where you must give an account of yourself, provide a ledger of what you have been and done and meant to the world, do not, I pray, discount that you filled a dying man's days with a sated joy, a joy unknown to me in all my prior years, a joy that does not hunger for more and more, but rest satisfied. In this time, right now, that is an enormous thing. His life and that of his daughter overlapped 6 to 8 months. Too brief. But his book continues and will continue to speak to her. Jesus in John's gospel is speaking to us. There is life after, whatever the after is. Trust that in this transition and in all the transitions of your life is the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Advocate, who the world cannot receive because it does not see her or know her. But you know that Spirit, don't you? The Spirit has accompanied you before. And perhaps that is the purpose of the accounting, that you may remember the afters that you have already lived beyond. Like the Father, the Spirit abides in you and will be inside you, a voice in your ear, perhaps even a voicemail, a hand on your shoulder, the presence embodied in that old chair, or a memory within you, or a new friend that walks beside you. God will not leave you orphaned, fatherless, comfortless, but accompanied. Come, give an accounting for the hope that is within, and proclaim what God has already done. You know, this is the good news of God throughout life's journeys and in all of life's transitions. There is a life after. As promised, I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming to you. Thanks be to God. Amen.